This is Hidden Killers Week in Review.
A look back at the most prolific stories of the week.
The drama of Chad and Lori Daybell, something we've been watching for quite some time here, and it doesn't ever really seem to come to any sort of an end. Chad's trial is on the way. Lori has another potential trial coming up very soon. Will either ever see the errors in their ways, to put it lightly, or are we going to see more drama as this case continues to unfold? Joining me right now to discuss all of this, Leah, who is the author of the book When the Moon Turns to Blood, The Disappearances of Jay Vallow, Tylee Ryan, and the horrible story that is the Daybells. Leah, I want to talk about kind of how this all begins, because this is a story that goes into, of course, extreme beliefs, which is what they are all about. Snake oil profits, pretty much, Chad. And answering that question, if the world is ending, how do you act? And maybe Chad and Lori Daybell are the perfect example of how people act when these sort of things happen. Let's kind of start there. How did you dive into putting this book together? And what was the initial thought process going into this?
Yeah, so it started for me in December of 2019, kind of when the news started to be, in the headlines that these children were missing, that this mother was gone, that she was maybe hiding out somewhere waiting for the apocalypse. And it maybe had to do with her strange cult-like beliefs, was initially what I saw. At that point, I'd been coming off several years of writing about far-right extremism in the Western United States, and specifically about the fringes of the LDS church. Mm-hmm. So, you know, to me, it started with a question. This woman is supposedly has these fringe Mormon beliefs, maybe sort of cult-like beliefs. Are they similar to things that I had reported on in the past? And it turned out that they were similar, that once I started diving into her beliefs, but also the beliefs of Chad Daybell, her now husband, it started to become pretty clear that these were ideas forged kind of at the edges of the church in the extreme survivalist, prepper, end times community, I guess you could call it.
Yeah, and that's, I have been very interested in all of that. And these people aren't just created in a vacuum. It's very easy to go, well, she's crazy, he's crazy, that's all. No, these people are formed some way. They weren't always this of what right. we see today. So I'm going to take a backtrack on all this, all the way back to the LDS church, because I get a lot of, well, they weren't LDS. And technically at the time of all this, they weren't, but there was a path that kind of led them here. And I'm curious about that and what you have found and what your thoughts are. This is not a let's bash the LDS church segment or anything like that, but it's a, let's look at reality. Let's look at what is going on that seems to create people like this, or at least lead some people who may already be on a bad mindset or some sort of mental disorder to go down some of these paths. Like, I can't tell you the inordinate amount of cases this year, and you've probably seen them too, that are LDS or former LDS that are very high profile. It's so out of proportion to everything else. What's your thoughts on all that? Is there something within LDS that kind of gets you on that path to diving off into some sort of other extreme belief? Because that seems to be what a lot of these do. They go to the extreme fringes and then it's something else. And LDS says, we have nothing to do with this.
So, yeah, I mean, it's a great question. And honestly, it's the thought process that I was going on trying to understand, you know, what is this?
Yeah.
You know, I grew up in the West, have lived in Oregon my whole life, and always have known Mormons and thought initially, this is not what I remember people, families and of friends of mine believing. So, you know, a lot of that question started earlier for me when we had a 41-day takeover of a federal property in Oregon by a group of armed militia men. The Bundy family is what they're called. Many people are familiar with them. I made a whole podcast about them called Bundyville. And with that story, I bring it up because I went to interview the family to ask that question. Are your standoffs with the government, they had two at that point, motivated by your religious beliefs? And they told me about a fringe, basically urban legend that's very popular at the edges of the LDS church called the White Horse Prophecy. It's fake. The church in Salt Lake City says it's, we don't believe it. It's not verified. But people who do believe in it think that the prophet and founder of the LDS church, Joseph Smith, apparently said to someone at some point that in the future, the Constitution will be so threatened, it'll hang by a thread as fine as silk fiber, as it's written, and that it'll be up to the Mormon people to save it. So in the case of the Bundy family, they were, you know, taking over federal properties because they thought about this. They believed in this prophecy. So with Daybell, in his writings, you see much of that same language repeated, this the Constitution hanging by a thread, this idea that the end times are coming and that it'll be up to the Mormon people to really save the United States. So that was kind of where I began with my reporting. But then what I really wanted to know was, how did these two people meet? You know, it seemed that Lori and Chad believed the same thing. So what circumstances did they meet on? And what I found was that they met on a set of these sort of prepper conferences that are around the fringes of the mainstream LDS church that exist really in Idaho, Arizona, Utah, Nevada. And they met there because Chad was a speaker. Lori was very interested in his ideas, and they fell in love, apparently, the first time they met. But at those conferences, you'll find people who are very interested in exploring the kind of fringes of the faith, who think maybe the White Horse prophecy actually is real, mm-hmm. that maybe the church in Salt Lake City isn't giving the full truth about some things. They're sort of seeking their own knowledge on topics that are really not kosher to talk about in church. Mm-hmm. So that's what I found. You know, I don't know that the LDS faith is particularly more, you know, that there's something baked into it that makes people have these ideas. Certainly, not to commit violence in the name of those ideas. There are some people who would argue that they do. Mm-hmm. I haven't found that in my reporting, but I have found quite a few cases over the years, over the decades, really, where people have used their very fringe interpretations of the LDS faith to commit violence, and often against innocent people.
What is it about the LDS church that seems to allow people to go to some of these fringes, of basically teeing them up to a certain level? I mean, every religion, I'm not trying to bash religions, but every religion, of course, has fantastical elements to it. I mean, just it is what religion is. It's based on faith. LDS has their own set of them. I mean, the whole Joseph Smith story, if you're not LDS, you look at it and you're kind of like, what the hell? But a lot of, you know, that's their faith. And okay, that's what you believe. But there are a lot of bizarre beliefs within that faith, which almost are contrary to many others, it seems, in terms of putting people, human beings, into places of almost divine power, if you will. But it's all dictated by the church. Is that, is kind of walking up to that level with the church, and then some people walking out of the church, sometimes the catalyst for that, where, well, the church says, you know, you can be like this if so-and-so says you are, but I'm not going to wait to get that title. I'm just going to leave and start it myself. That seems to be what we have with a lot of people like Chad or some of the other, you know, individuals who have broken off Jeffries and that sort of stuff as well.
Yeah. It's an interesting observation. I think that one thing that's unique about the LDS faith is that the church encourages people to have a personal relationship with God. So to receive, you know, to talk to God, to receive personal revelation from God and direction maybe on how to live their lives. The church is very clear that personal revelation is to be shared with your spouse, with your family, but it's really not supposed to, as I often say, it's not supposed to walk out the front door and start distributing. The church hierarchy in Salt Lake City receives revelation from God for the whole church, but that personal revelation is where things get kind of sticky, because as you say, you know, over the years, people have received personal revelation that they believe means they're supposed to lead the church. Yeah. And I suppose if you believe in personal revelation, you wouldn't want to doubt that thing. And you would say, maybe it's a risk enough to take for me to walk out the front door and start spreading my own gospel. Mm-hmm. You know, I think another thing that is important to understand is that the Mormon faith is very new in the broad scheme of things. Yeah. And so, you know, I think any religious faith, when given, you know, put under a lens, has some questionable things in its history.
Sure.
I think that one thing that is a little bit of a thing to talk about is that the church really lionized its, you know, handful of presidents that it's had in less than, you know, 200-year history. And one of those I talk about a lot in my book is a man named Ezra Taft Benson, who actually worked in Washington, D.C. for the federal government as the Secretary of Agriculture for quite some time. And then afterward, he came to be the president of the LDS Church. And he said a lot of things in that role about that there were vast conspiracies in the federal government, that there were, you know, he had a really conspiratorial mindset. But because he was the president of the church, people believed, well, why would he lie? So, you know, Benson's books are still sold in Deseret Book, which are the, you know, bookstores run by the church. Benson's history is still very much a part of things. And I think that it would be important for the LDS Church as a whole to kind of re-examine his history and how it maybe sowed a sense of conspiracy into the population of the church, that people were taught to kind of maybe doubt the narrative of things or embrace a real conspiratorial anti-government even mindset, even, you know, violent mindset, because those words are still taught and studied today.
Sure. I mean, I think that's where you get individuals like Chad Daybell. He's writing the books about the end of the world. He's talking about it to anyone who will happen to listen. And then, oh, hey, here comes Lori Vallow, who certainly seems like she needs something in her life. And there's Chad, and you have the cornucopia of crazy.
Sick of the ads?
We are too.
Start listening with no commercials now and get access to all of our episodes in advance of everyone else.
Become a True Crime Today Premium Plus subscriber on Apple Podcasts.
Search True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts or go to our podcast page and sign up now.
True Crime Today Premium Plus.
Sign up now.